So, Prabhus, we're only 3 days away until the big day. And this is the second special class, I would say. The first was yesterday. And the theme is entering Krishna's world. What a theme. So much can be said. The verse I've selected is from the CC, because this part of the CC is truly quite amazing. It's entitled, the chapter 14 is entitled, The Lord's Feelings of Separation. And this is the 37th verse translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I found Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, but I have lost him again. Who has taken my Krishna? Where have I come? The purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. These are the feelings of Srimati Radharani. First, Lord Chaitanya felt that he had been taken to Vrindavan, where he saw Krishna's rasa dance with the gopis. Then he was brought to Kurukshetra to see Lord Jagannath, his sister, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost Vrindavan and Krishna, the master of Vrindavan. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced Divyon Mada, transcendental madness, in separation from Krishna. At Kurukshetra, Krishna displays his opulence, whereas in Vrindavan, he is in his original position. Krishna never goes even a step away from Vrindavan. Therefore, Kurukshetra is less important for the gopis than Vrindavan. Although devotees who worship Krishna in opulence, his Vaikuntha aspect, may prefer to see Lord Krishna in Kurukshetra along with Subhadra and Balaram. The gopis want to see Krishna in Vrindavan performing the rasa dance with Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by practical example how one can cultivate the mood of Radharani and the other gopis in separation from Krishna. Devotees absorbed in this mood do not like to see Krishna. Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai. Curtains are not opening. I thought they were opening. Devotees absorbed in the mood or do not like to see Krishna anywhere else but Vrindavan. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lamented, I found Krishna in Vrindavan and now I have again lost him and come to Kurukshetra. Unless one is a very highly advanced devotee, he cannot understand these intricate feelings. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, however, has tried to explain this Divyomada as far as possible. And it is our duty simply to appreciate it as far as possible. Therefore, the author has made the following request in this verse 11. Tate vivasha kori shuna bhavera varana hai iba bhavera jnana paiba premadana. My dear readers, simply try to hear this description with faith and love. That will help you understand transcendental ecstasy, and at last you will achieve love of Godhead very easily. Translation once again, to kindly repeat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I found Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, but I have lost him again. Who has taken my Krishna? Where have I come? Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Namo om Vishnupadaya Krishna pastarya bhutale Srimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschastari Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpatrupasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dear devotees, I humbly seek the blessings and the mercy of the assembled Vaishnavas and the unassembled Vaishnavas as well, today and all the eternal days to come. In particular, seek the blessings of His Grace Yadubhar Prabhu, and the senior Vaishnavas. Thank you so much. This is indeed a very special part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in order to somewhat enter Krishna's world, it's useful to understand a little, because my understanding is very little, understand little of his personal paraphernalia and items, associates, so on and so on, as much as what we can understand, really. Srila Prabhupada gives us a rather unique statement of, in essence, who Krishna is, in a simple but somewhat deep statement is given as to who is Krishna. Now, of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is indeed that. Srila Prabhupada says, who is Krishna that just knowing him solves all questions? Just knowing him solves all questions, such as what is beyond death and what is God. Who is Krishna? Srila Prabhupada has described in a conversation what the devotees are aspiring for and whom they are thinking of when they say Krishna. Not Krishna, but Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, the earth spins, does it not? The earth spins and turns around, and the sun spins and the universe turns. And there are millions of such universes. And this is all running to the exact 10,000th of a second in the right way. Think of what a brain devised this plan. That is Krishna, Prabhupada mentions. We are trying to associate with such a personality. Well, you all are. Think of how great our ambition is. This is no small thing. This is no small thing. Krishna is God, the supreme controller. Krishna is worshipped in churches, in temples, in mosques, all over the world, and the universes, many universes. And he is played to be in thousands of different names, like Allah, Jehovah, etc. He is the one God without a second. Since time immemorial, he has been coming himself to the earth and sending his confidential messengers, incarnations and sages. He has sent his son, Lord Jesus Christ, and the prophet Muhammad. They have all proclaimed the same message. You are all servants of God. Kindly give up the senseless life of selfishness and just love God. This is who Krishna is in accordance to our Jagat Guru. And of course, when we contemplate upon the Lord, we have to naturally think of all the people and all the personalities the Lord is attached to. The Lord has a relationship with, and of course he has his relationship with the cows, and that's why the very first thing we do here is we build a Hilton for our cows. The Goshala came first. Of course, we saved the temple first in all the politics. But the Goshala came first, and then the Haveli, and then now we're kind of concentrating in the temple room and the main temple building. So, of course, the cows are there. And then, of course, you know, even something like Krishna's chariot. A beautiful description has been given of Krishna's chariot. And then, of course, you've even got Krishna's flute. Krishna's flute, I mean, it's, you know, describing such paraphernalia of Krishna, it's just mesmerizing. But the cows of Krishna, Krishna has many, many cows. And now Krishna, a description is being given in the 10th canto, of the 35th chapter, between verse 18 and 19, and Krishna and his cows. And naturally we have to say something because we have such a beautiful Goshala. I went to the Anupam mission a couple of weeks back, and they have a beautiful land there. Of course, I went for the inauguration of building a crematorium there, and they've got planning, which is wonderful. And I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a Goshala here? Because it's just, you know, it's a wonderful pastures there. But we are very fortunate that we do have a Goshala. Now, Krishna is standing somewhere counting. He counts. And he counts on a string of gems. Now, sometimes devotees, I don't have my bead bag, but sometimes devotees have nice gems as counters, isn't it? And of course, he wears a garland of tulsi flowers. Now, Prabhus, we haven't offered Goklananda, the Lord, a tulsi garland in a long, long time. I'm not going to mention how long because it's somewhat shameful. I do hope we get it together on his birthday on Friday. Please pray intensely that we do get it together and we don't space out. Because there was a time when at the pharmacy of Madan Mohan Prabhu, there would be many maha garlands, and I would go there, in particular when we have funerals, and I would offer and cremate the garlands. Now we don't have any. Of course, we don't even have the pharmacy. Madan Mohan is retired. But Krishna is standing there wearing this beautiful tulsi flower garland that bear the fragrance of his beloved. That bear the fragrance of his beloved. And he has thrown his arm over the shoulder of an affectionate cowherd boyfriend as Krishna plays his flute and sings. The music attracts the black deer's wives. Sure, some of you have come across this description, who approach that ocean of transcendental qualities and sit down beside him. Just like us, cowherd girls, the gopis are saying, they have given up all hope of happiness in family life. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport of this 35th chapter of the 19th verse, the 10th canto, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in the afternoon, Sri Krishna dresses himself in new clothing. So Krishna, you know, goes back in the afternoon home and he gets changed again. And new clothing. And then he went out to call the cows home. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following information about the transcendental cows of Vrindavan. The transcendental cows of Vrindavan. For each of the four colors, because Krishna has cows in different colors, each of the four colors is white, naturally, red, black, and yellow. There are black cows as well. There are 25 subdivisions. So you've got 20, you've got the four, then you've got the 25 subdivisions, making a total of 100 different colors of cows. And such qualities are as being colored like sandalwood, sandalwood pulp, tilak. Tilak is like yellowish. Or having a specific head shaped like a mridanga. Cows having a specific head shaped like a mridanga. This is what's been explained. And eight further groups. So to count, Krishna has to count 108 groups of cows on his, you know, counter beads. And that's why, you know, you've got the 16 beads there, and then you've got the additional four. If some of you may have, you know, not heard of the additional four. The additional four is to, you know, count eventually, you know, more and more rounds. So to count these 108 groups of cows distinguished by color and form, Krishna is using a string of jeweled beads. And if you could all imagine, thus when Krishna calls out, "Hey, Davali," this is the name of the white cows, the group of white cows, Davali. A group, a whole group of white cows just come rushing towards him. And "Hey, Hamsi, Chandani, Ganga, Mukta," and so on and so on. He calls all these cows, and 24 other groups of white cows come rushing forward. The reddish cows are called Aruni. Aruni. Kumkum, because Kumkum's, you know, red. Saraswati, and so on. There are many names. The black ones, the blackish ones, naturally, Shamala. The yellowish of Pita, and Pingala. These are all yellow. And so those in the group with tilak marks, because not everyone has tilak, not all the cows have tilak apparently, marks they're on their foreheads are called chitrata, and chitrata tilaka, with the long A. And so there are many names. Simba Mukhi, this is the lion-headed cow, Simba Mukhi. And Mridanga Mukhi, the Mridanga shaped. So thus being called by name, the cows are coming forward. And Krishna thinking that when it is time to bring them back from the forest, none should be forgotten. Can't forget the cows, none of them. And so the counting, he continues. Now, if you can imagine Krishna standing there, you know, with one arm, elbow on his friend's shoulder, and he's doing all of this. He's doing this very, very, you know, peacefully, no agitation. You know, sometimes when I'm, because, you know, I'm based at the Goshala, and my office is at the top. And I look around, and Madan Prabhu is there, and Jai Krishna Prabhu is there. Sometimes they get quite frantic. But Krishna, you know, because controlling the cows is not an easy thing. You need quite a lot of, you know, might, transcendental might. But Krishna, here he stands, you know, just very peacefully, and all these cows are coming forward, hundreds at a time. So such, Prabhus, is the description of Krishna's cows. Then we have a description of Krishna's chariot, which to us may seemingly be, we've never really heard of it, and it's just a chariot. Nothing much to really contemplate upon. But no. in the 10th canto, again in the 53rd chapter of the 10th canto, the 5th verse describes Krishna's chariot. Deruka brought the Lord's chariot, because that's the charioteer, yoked the horses, and the horses' names are given, Shaiva. Shaiva is green in complexion. Megha Pushpa, the color of a cloud, bluish. Sugriva, yellow, golden horse. If you can imagine Krishna's horse is gold. Balahaka, whitish. So you have green, blue, gold, white. Oh, these are the four horses of Krishna. And they pull this chariot of Krishna's. And Deruka would fold his hands when Krishna wants to get on the chariot, kneel. And then the Lord would hold onto his hands and onto his thigh and enter the chariot. Can you imagine what position Deruka has? God would love to do that, wouldn't we? Hold the Lord's hand and escort him up. Could you imagine that? I certainly can't. I'd like to just, you know, hold Keshav Swami's chariot. That would be sufficient for me. So the son, this is interesting, the son of Deruka, he's the charioteer of Prajumna, who is the son of Krishna. The grandson of Deruka, he is the charioteer of Aniruddha, who is the grandson of Krishna. So you can see here, Prabhus, there's a parampara. You know, if you're at the chariot of Krishna, then your son's very fortunate because he's the charioteer of Krishna's son. So like that. And Krishna has a, you know, grandson, a great-grandson, a great-great-grandson, because the Yadus, you know, they Prabhupada mentions that they number into trillions. Just the teachers, I'm sure most of you devotees are teachers from the school of bhakti, because if you're from the school of bhakti, then you're all teachers. And just the teachers educating the children of the Yadus number 38.2 million. So you can imagine how many Yadus there are. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitarama Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gonitai Bhagwan ki jai. So I got that right. The bell I thought was a bit too loud when we were doing the offering. Hint, hint. Prabhus, we could go on and on about Krishna's, of Gokulananda's paraphernalia, but, you know, when you look at the lordships and you look at the Lord himself, you look at Lord Gokulananda, he has a beautiful, beautiful flute, does he not? And a description of Krishna's flute has been nicely given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, again the Madhya Leela. Madhya Leela is so incredible. 21st chapter between 140 and 144. And the great, great poet, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, writes of the endless glories of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. Krishna's life, this is what the Kaviraj writes, beautiful description. Krishna's life was written in the Bhagavat by Vyas. The Ved Vyas of Sri Chaitanya was Vrindavan Das. Vrindavan Das has called his book the Chaitanya Mangal. Whoever hears his book, no grave misfortune shall befall. Who reads it knows the glories of Chaitanya and Nitai, and knows what Krishna Bhakti is all about and how it is and why. His book contains the essence of the holy Bhagavat and shows what Krishna Bhakti is and what Bhakti is not. An atheist who hears the Thakur's words will soon relent and join the ranks of saintly men whose souls are heaven sent. It all rhymes. No ordinary man can sing of God as he has sung. No ordinary man. The Lord himself has spoken through the Taku's holy tongue. I bow a million times before the holy lotus feet of Sri Vrindavan Das, whose verses are so very sweet. That one who reads them shall be freed from this dark mortal earth. I bow a million times before the place where he took birth. So this is such an important part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very, very personal and inconceivable, describing Krishna, God, so very, very thoroughly. And a rather detailed description has been given of the Lord's flute or flutes. We can find throughout the Nectar of Devotion, throughout the NOD, we can find much, much about the flute of the Lord. The gopis mention to Mother Yashoda, when your son plays on his flute, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, even Lord Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest learned scholars and personalities, all become bewildered. Such powerful personalities in the universe become bewildered by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. They humbly bow down and become grave from studying the sound. They study the sound vibrating. And Rupa Goswami mentions that the sound totally and utterly bewilders everyone qualified to hear. Bewilders everyone. Now, interestingly enough, one may think that the flutes of Krishna must be female. But no, Prabhus, these flutes are male. Interesting. And the gopis are so transcendentally envious because touching Krishna's lips, come on, my God. These are no ordinary personalities, these flutes. They control everyone's mind. Everyone's. And of course, there are three types of flutes. I'll skip some description. But the first flute is Venu. And we have Venu Gopala Prabhu over there. Venu Gopala is this. So the first flute is Venu. It's rather small, Prabhu. It's rather small. Not more than 6 inches. Not more than 6 inches. And with 6 holes for whistling. And the second is quite popular, Murali. You know, Murali is quite well known. And this Murali is 18 inches in length, I kid you not, and it has 4 holes. And on the body of the flute, this kind of flute produces a very, very enchanting sound. And the third type of flute is called a vamsi. Vamsi. And vamsi is about 15 inches in length. And the vamsi is most complex, for it has 9 holes for whistling. So now the Lord plays on these flutes on different occasions, naturally. He's not going to play the same flute on the same occasion. And Krishna has a longer vamsi. He has a longer vamsi, which is called the Mahanandi. Mahanandi, which brings immense pleasure. Another name for it is Samohini. Samohini. And when it is still longer, the name is Akarsini. So there's very many names. And even longer is Anandini. So all these names are there. And of course, when it is very, very pleasing to the cowherd boys because, you know, he will, in order to attract certain individuals, of course, you know, I will never be able to hear such sound vibration. But in order to attract certain individuals, he will play a particular type of flute. The Vamsuli attracts the cowherd boys. These flutes are sometimes bedecked, Prabhus, with jewels, sometimes made of marble, and sometimes hollow bamboo. When the flute is made of jewels, it's called Samohini. So the Samohini is a valuable jewel. I'm just trying to contemplate what the Lord is holding right now. I have no idea. Don't ask me that in the questions and answers. When it's made of gold, it's known as Akarsini. Now, Prabhus, we know that there are 64 qualities of Krishna. And the 63rd is when he can attract all living entities all over the universes by just playing his flute. So this is one of his qualities, the 63rd. It is clearly evident that the Lord's flutes have transcendental personalities, spiritual individualism. Each flute has a spiritual individualism and has personality. So in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute in the 21st chapter. And the entire chapter is a description of how Krishna enters the enchanting forest. So, of course, we want to enter Krishna's world. We want to enter this enchanting forest. Well, all of you do. I certainly do not. I have no desire at all. I don't even know what it means. I'm just reading this. You know, can't really acknowledge it, anything at all. So a description is given of the arrival of Krishna in the forest in autumn. And the praises the gopis sang were when they heard the vibration of Krishna's flute. The gopis boldly declare that to see Krishna playing his flute while taking the cows to pasture is the highest perfection for the eyes. It is the highest perfection for the eyes. So when our cows are into their pasture, go over there, and you may see Radha Gokulananda off his altar playing his flute. You never know. Some of you might. For me, forget it, mate. The description in the 10th canto is given of how different personalities are offended when the... different personalities are affected when they hear the sound of the transcendental sound vibration. Of course, you know, different things happen to different personalities. But at the end of it, of this description, time is ticking and I'm bereft of it. So at the end and finally, the gopis, they mention that all the non-moving living entities become moving and all the stationary personalities, they move upon hearing Krishna's flute. And in essence, Prabhu's, Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful conclusion in the 144th verse of the CC. And Prabhupada mentions very interestingly, Srila Prabhupada is stating that the vibrations of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Jay to that. and that a serious devotee, you're all serious, a serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental sound vibration become so accustomed to it that he or she cannot divert his or her attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. So by the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, it's good as hearing Krishna's flute. So we're all saved. We are certainly not, well, sorry, I am certainly not qualified to hear Gokulananda's flute, however and wherever it's being played. But if I can hear that Maha Mantra, of course, hearing the Maha Mantra is one thing, but then, you know, to digest it and all of that business, of course, that's a different game at all, different ball game at all. So, Prabhus, it is now 8:30, coming up to 8:33. We literally have 2 minutes. I did want to share pastimes, but I have no time. I've got some beautiful pastimes, but anyway, what to do, Prabhus? I shall stop here. Are there any corrections, comments, gladly accepted? Questions? Yadubar Prabhu's here. Anything at all, Prabhu's? And your breakfast awaits. Yes, Prabhu.
First of all, I thought that was really class.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask... Oh, right. I think I've got a fairly loud voice anyway, so... So, how do you prepare a class like that, if I could ask? And could you give us some insight to how it feels to be giving a class like that? Because I was looking around as you were giving that class, and I could see that everybody was pretty transfixed. And I wonder what it is for you as you're giving the class. What could you give us some insights into what's the experience of giving a class like that? Would that be okay? Was that too big?
No, not at all. It's Prabhu, you know, I'm a parrot. I just read out things. To prepare for this book of mine is my little notebook, and I've got some of these things already in here. This one began. I sometimes put a date on it. Oh, this one, okay. This one is not that far off. It's only 14th of January, 2018. So some of these notes, I tend to do a lot of copying. I like to copy. And copying my own handwriting, because it kind of makes me read it more often. But Prabhu's, sometimes it's quite emotional. Of course, it shouldn't be. For someone like me, it's not really emotion at all. It is really, I'm copycatting. It's just descriptions which are there already. And we seldom think of it in the sense that Srila Prabhupada has given us so much information in the Sisi, in the Bhagavatam. And quite honestly, there's no real reason to reading any other books, because it's all there. Of course, one can very much become attached to the Navavraj Mahima. I'm so very much attached to that, because what Sri Ramaraj has done is quite absolutely unique. But it's all there, and someone like me has to just copy and read, copy, paste. Of course, you know, not paste, because I'm handwriting everything, because I like to do that. I like to waste some time in handwriting. But thank you, Japa Yagya Prabhu, for saying what you did. But I can't really say anything else, because, you know, I'm certainly some kind of a weird parrot. And I just like to copy. Priyojan Prabhu, that's a nice hat you have on.
My Guru, I asked my Guru Raj, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, can you give me some advice on speaking in class or giving class? And he said, the first thing he said was, you don't give class. Hmm. And what he meant by that is the purport's there, Prabhupada's wonderful purports and the descriptions and translations. He said, so... And everything else, whatever comes from Krishna, because by inspiration, like you're speaking on inspiration, and Japa Yogi is speaking on inspiration. So he said, ultimately, you're not giving class. It's all there. It's there for you. It's all written for you, and whatever comes, if you get some inspiration, that's Krishna too. So that's what he said to me, anyway, as advice. But it's similar to what you were saying, just like a parrot in the sense.
I saw 3 green parrots in our Vrindavan field yesterday. 3 all together. They're all green. You know where the new property is, where the farm cottage, well, we should really change the name. Vishakapuru really wants to change these names, so somehow we've got to change the names of our properties. But they're in the back garden. Anyway, thank you, Prabhus. Granth Raj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki.